Edge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. Chris Graham, we're going to talk with Rod Mullins here on this podcast. We'll talk a lot of NASCAR as we catch up on what happened last weekend at Pocono and look ahead to Watkins Glen and some news and notes in between. So, Rod, let's start talking first about Pocono, kind of catch up on that. Denny Hamlin with the overtime win. Kind of give us some of the highlights there and some of the storylines coming out of that race.
Well, Denny Hamlin, by far, of course, everyone knows by now, Denny Hamlin was the winner, came out of this one. He picked up, something altogether, his fifth victory altogether when it comes to racing there at Pocono. And he just managed to be able to go and get to victory lane, even through the overtime period, by watching fuel mileage. And that's one of the things that I've always talked about in the past when we've talked about Pocono. It seems that in the first race, it's a question of how the car is going to hold up to the very end. And then when they get to the summer race, especially there about late July, early August, it's always a matter of fuel mileage, and that's what it ended up being this time around. There were a lot of cars that got in a situation of where they felt like if they go and they pit, take some fuel on, they would not have a chance of getting back up toward the front. Denny Hamlin was putting up some good numbers, too. He did have a challenge there at the very end, but he still came through. And there were several wrecks right there, right toward the very end of the race that pushed the race over into overtime. One of those wrecks involving Kurt Busch, Rick Stenhouse, and there was a Twitter war erupted between these two on Sunday evening and also into the first part of the week. I think that everything is kind of eased over now. I don't think there's really a big deal with it. Stenhouse says he doesn't expect any kind of retaliation from Kurt Busch, but we know how things go with Kurt Busch and Kyle Busch. They got what to do about things. And so our guess, could be anything this coming weekend. They go to Watkins Glen. It could be a show that we see Kurt Busch and Rick Stenhouse fighting for position, and just a little nudge could send Stenhouse out of the off the track into the infield, something like that, and then he's gone for the rest of the afternoon. So we'll have to see how that really turns out. Another thing that really has caught my attention also from this past weekend, even though we said Denny Hamlin won the race and he did win in convincing fashion, his crew chief still managed to get fined this past weekend for one other than lug nuts. And that thing about the lug nuts, the lug nuts being missing, that is one of those things that happens. He didn't fail post-race inspection in a bad way, just the lug nut situation. But Chris Gabehart will serve out a penalty, and also he'll have to sit out for a race there because of the lug nut situation. And then I guess the other thing that we have to look at up with Pocono this past weekend is that it was probably one of the better attended races more than anything else. The crowd looked like they were really into this race. And Pocono, of course, the people up there in Pocono, they love their racing up there they're around Long Park, Pennsylvania. So it was a good weekend all in all for the team that were racing there at Pocono this past week.
Yeah, this Twitter war, I'll go back to that for a second. NASCAR has kind of made its money. Great racing, but also the fact that the guys were characters and they'd sometimes jump out of the cars, take their helmets off and swing and everything else. And now we're seeing more of these Twitter wars. And I guess it's not just in NASCAR. It's in everyday life. It's in politics. We see it a lot in sports these days. But I guess if you were to expect a Twitter war to erupt in NASCAR, you probably wouldn't be surprised to see Kyle Busch involved, right?
No, not at all. I mean, you wouldn't be surprised to see Kyle Busch involved. You wouldn't expect to see, you wouldn't be surprised to see Brother Kurt involved. You wouldn't be surprised to see some of the other drivers, all together involved in it. Some of them like to play around a lot of on a lot of things, joke about some things and what happened during the race. But I'm telling you, this past weekend, Ricky Stenhouse in some ways is driving as aggressive, somewhat aggressive, as what the first-year driver in Ernie Irvin did when he was really making a name for himself back in the early 90s. When he came on and started racing for Morgan McClure Racing that used to be based close by here in Abingdon, Virginia, he was racing, hitting people. I mean, he was tapping people just as aggressively as a Kyle Busch might do in a racing circuit now. But But at that time, they had to pull him in. They pulled him in before they went to Talladega, and Ernie Irvin had to get there and express a huge, I'm sorry, because, you know, it's just the way he's raced, the way he had raced out in California, all over the Southwest when he was learning the trade, so to speak. But we've not been in that situation with a Kyle Busch or a Kurt Busch, so to speak. Kurt has mostly been in trouble with things off the track or the way he has talked to announcers or people with the press, such as Jerry Bunch and some of the others. Kurt is matured, though. Kyle is still on that verge right now where he's kind of borderline. Sometimes he goes quiet, he doesn't say anything, but that's when you really have to be scared of Kyle Busch more than anything, because Kyle sits there and he stews over these things. He stews over a way of how to get back at a driver. And he may not get on Twitter, and he may not say things the way that it transpired between Rick Stenhouse and Kurt Busch this time around. But he will get even with you on the track. It almost leads you to wonder that if Dale Earnhardt Sr. was alive today, would he even fool with Twitter? Or would he just go out there on the track and would he just, you know, let his driving speak for itself? And I think we're starting to get that a little bit out of Kyle Busch right now. His driving will speak for himself. So Dale Earnhardt Sr. would probably be the attitude, who needs it? I don't need it. I just go and I drive. I don't care about this social media crap. And that's the way he would be about it.
It's the thought. I had never thought of the idea of Dale Earnhardt Jr. on Twitter. And yeah, I think that is so anathema to the idea, the mystique of Dale Earnhardt Jr. He might shut Twitter down just with the very push of a button if he were to do so. So no, Dale Sr. No way.
The thing about Dale Jr. and social media, he didn't join social media till the year that he was retiring, the year that he was giving everything up. And he ended up becoming a much better social media person in that 1 year. He commented on certain things, but he's even better now that he's joined NBC Sports and he does these Twitter announcements and so forth. And I just love it. I just love to kind of keep up with the Dale Jr. download, Dirty Mo Radio, all the things that he's involved with, plus his time, what he does with NBC.
Yeah, that is a funny thing. I had never thought about that. That's a good thought to plant in the head. Okay, some serious off-the-track news. Jimmy Johnson, new crew chief. What's the story here?
Well, you know, it's one of those things that I heard Dale Jarrett talk about it this past weekend, and he was talking about it. And, you know, here he is. Jimmy Johnson is in danger of losing, that playoff spot. We're getting close to the playoff spot, the cutoff. And here he is, and he's right now 17th in the standings, and he's in bad shape if you look at it from that point of view. He's not had a good season. He's had a couple of good runs, and, you know, finally they decided that this is what happens. We've got to make a change. We've got to do something very quickly, and that's what they decided to do this weekend with the awarding of a new, crew chief position they went to Cliff Daniels to try to bring back the 48 team. And I think it's hurt that they have lost Chad Janaus over to William Byron's team because Byron's been running consistent. We're waiting for him to be able to pull off a big win before it's over with. And I think he'll get that with Chad Janaus' leadership. But Jimmy Johnson, you know, it's the driver can only do so much. And when your car is not prepared the way it should be, you know, it's going to show. And Jimmy Johnson did not have a good outing at Pocono this past weekend, not to his liking. He would have much more rather been in victory lane, but he's 17th right now in the standings, and, you know, he's looking for this. And he finished 15th, he's looking to get into the playoffs because, you know, this is a man that's won 7 championships. You know, he's right up there, and he's wanting to break through that and get through to that 8th championship. So I really can't blame them what's going on and what Hendrick Motorsports did. They needed to make a change, and they needed to quickly, and especially with Black and Spring coming up. Then you've got Michigan. Then you've got Bristol. Those are important races that Jimmy Johnson has the chance to maybe at least pull himself out of the quagmire is what he's in right now, mediocrity, and try to get back into this playoff berth, especially with what's coming up by the time they get September.
Okay, so now looking ahead to Watkins Glen, defending champ is Chase Elliott. The top five in your standings right now, Joey Logano first, Kyle Busch second, Kevin Harvick, then Denny Hamlin, then Martin Truex Jr. So what can we expect this weekend? And does Chase Elliott have any advantage with his his relatively recent success there?
Well, he's going to have that better luck than what he had at Pocono. Just very unfortunate event for Chase Elliott that put him out of the race. Chase Elliott has to be considered at least a favorite to compete in this race. But when you've got some of these guys up there in the front that, like a Joey Logano, like Kyle Busch, Kurt Busch, Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, and Martin Truex, they all run these run courses. Brad Keselowski is another. And, that's how it stands right now in the top six position. Along with Kurt, who's in position number 7 in the playoff team. But you've also got Eric Almirola, who loves a road course. Ryan Blaney, if you want to know about a road course, let's go and think about the Roval last year down in Charlotte at the Bank of America Roval. Ryan Blaney pulled off a big win there at the Roval last year. And, I think probably a favorite to pull something off this weekend. As well as, I think, Alex Bowman and William Byron to pull something out. William Byron loves these road courses. Eric Jones is looking for a win because he's got something to prove to Joe Gibbs. He's in the last year of his contract with Gibbs Racing, and he's looking for either stay with Joe Gibbs Racing, or he's going to be moving on to somewhere else. Kyle Larson, another big name right there, along with Clint Boyer. You can't rule out Ryan Newman. Can't rule out Jimmy Johnson. It's like going down the whole list of these guys that are contending for playoff spots right now, and really a lot of them from position about 18 or 19 on through till about the very end. Some of these guys are really good on road courses, and Bubba Wallace is another good one. He may throw a ringer into it. It just depends on what kind of conditions they're going to be facing on Sunday. If they have a hot surface, they're going to be looking for that car to stick to that racetrack, but there's going to be a lot of sliding going around, too, because, the tar's going to be hot, and there's going to be some slick spots, and they're going to move around on the track. Watkins Glen is just a phenomenal racetrack, and it's a great place to watch a race that's going on. And NBC is going to be so dedicated to it this weekend that NBC Sports is going to be going almost to a radio-type format, is the way that MRN Radio does their coverage of NASCAR racing when they're on the radio. So you're going to have Dale Earnhardt, you may have Steve Letarte, you may have Jeff Burton out in the field covering maybe in a position of the essence. And I think that's going to make a big difference, too. So they're having that in addition to the Xfinity Series will also be racing at there at Watkins Glen. But I think the one that everybody's going to be looking at is the one that's going to be happening tonight as we record on Thursday, and that's going to be the Truck Series, and they're going to be driving at Eldora Speedway in Ohio. That's Tony Stewart's big racetrack there that he has, that he owns, and they've been able to bring the Truck Series there to the dirt, and this will be interesting too to see who's going to pull something out, as that race will be later on tonight, and we'll hopefully have some results of that. But that could be a big one for the Eldora Dirt Derby with that Indy World Truck Series race there at Eldora.
I have to admit, I've not been able to get past the thought of Dale Sr. tweeting. It's just, as we wrap up our podcast here, I'm thinking there, for a lot of the listeners to our podcast generally are also UVA sports fans. Tony Bennett doesn't have a Twitter account. There's a gentleman who stepped in a few years ago, created an account called Phony Bennett. Bronco Mendenhall, the football coach, doesn't have a Twitter account, so another gentleman stepped up and set up an account called Bronco Pretending Hall. There are accounts like that across, the sports universe. It'd be interesting to see someone step up and do a Dale, a sort of a Dale Sr. homage Twitter account. And it wouldn't be that hard because it would be acerbic. It would be direct and to the point. It would involve mustaches, too, I think. And he would decry all the nonsense that is going on in our world today, and in NASCAR in particular. There's a place to be had there, I think, a Dale Sr. Twitter account.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. If it works down here in my part of Virginia on a retired baseball coach who won something like 8 or 9 Virginia High School League baseball titles what's left of J.J. Kelly High School, I'm telling you, when you go on to that website on Twitter and you see some of the comments he's made, and this is one of those fake accounts, and somebody has done such a great job with it. I've read such great lines of, you know, he couldn't hit a baseball, he couldn't hit, or something like that, along the lines of if he fell out of a boat. He couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat, or something like that. And these are just little isms, if you want to call them that. And it would be interesting to see if somebody could really pick up and take off with that and see what they could do with, say, for example, a Dale Sr. part, see if they could really make something big out of it.
Yeah, they might put the kids in line. The drivers who are the young folks, they might this you know, the voice of Dale Sr. speaking from beyond could put them in line. He could tell them how stupid they are for all the stupid fights they get into. Just get out there and set it on the track, young man. That's all you got to do.
Well, you know, this past week they had a big deal down in Charlotte, down at the NASCAR Hall of Fame, and Terry LaBonte was there. And, of course, you know, missing Dale Sr. because Dale Sr. being passed on. But, you know, you had Chocolate Myers there, you had Richard Childress, and they were talking about the pass, the spin that Dale Earnhardt Sr. laid on Terry Labonte right there in the final laps of that night race at Bristol. And, you know, to this day, Terry Labonte still burns over it because he had a chance to win that race, and Dale Earnhardt bumped him from behind, sent him spinning, and he went on through, and Earnhardt wins the race. And then they asked Earnhardt, they said, you know, what was you thinking when you came up on Terry Labonte, and he bumped him, and he says, well, I wasn't trying to wreck him, I just only want the rally to change. So, I mean, you know, it's those kind of things is what we miss right now. Some of us miss at NASCAR, at least hearing those kind of slogans or those kind of sayings. Dale Sr. just put it plain and simple. Terry Labonte to this day still can't really go into a lot of detail because he says it just burns him up. He said, you know, here I was. I had a clear shot to win that race, and Dale just comes up. And they were still friends even after all this had happened. But it's just one of those things where Dale Sr. just used his advantage at Bristol to come up with a big win that night.
I even got the working name for it in Twitter Dater. If you see that name out, I don't think I could dare speak for Dale Sr., but I think we've got a concept here, so let's see if we can work that out. Well, hey, Rod, thank you for your time as always. We'll talk to you next week and make some sense of Watkins Glen.
All right. Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks.